What's going down? Hello, this is Jonathan Paley of the Paley Brothers, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Art Omai, a sculpture and architecture park and international residency center in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dawn until dusk, Art Omai presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Glen Falls House in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, October 16th. Strange day ahead. Starting out, we have our day's high of 53 degrees at dawn. Temperatures drop a little as a cold front moves through the area today, ending at 50 degrees at dusk. All day long, the front will try to drop rain on the Twin Counties, and we'll get better at it this afternoon. Almost an inch of rain is expected for today, with this afternoon being the most intense. Overnight rain continues, tapering off around dawn. Tomorrow will be dry with a high of 56. Sunday will be also dry, but a little bit warmer. The next high tides will be at 3:05 p.m. and tomorrow at 3:21 a.m. The next low tides will be at 9:21 a.m. and at 9:47 p.m. Water temperature will be 60 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:50 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:09 a.m. Looking way up, we see new Sun Cycle Sunspot, AR2776, has quadrupled in size since it first appeared on October 14th. It is not yet large enough to pose a threat for strong solar flares, but it is a good target for backyard solar telescopes, with proper solar filters, of course. Solar wind speed is currently 306 kilometers per second at 6.9 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1, quiet. The current sunspot number is 14, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sabisha Friedberg of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more, Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
Gotta fight for your right to party. Gotta fight for your right to party.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
Gotta fight for your right to party. Gotta fight for your right to party. Gotta fight for your right to party.
You wake up late for school, man, you don't wanna go. And you ask your mom please, but she still says no. You miss two classes and no homework, but your teacher preaches class like you're some kind of jerk. You
gotta fight for your right to party. Gotta fight for your right to party. Gotta fight for your right to party. Gotta fight for your right to party.
House, if that's the clothes you're gonna wear, I'll kick you out of my home if you don't cut that hair. Your mom busted in and said, "What's that noise?" Oh, mom, you're just jealous. It's the Beachy Boys.
You gotta fight for your right to party. Gotta fight for your right to party. Gotta fight for your right to party. Gotta fight for your right to party.
You gotta fight.
Fight for your right to party. Gotta 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 fight for your right to party.
Here's a 2020 release from Bill Callahan, Bonnie Prince Billy, and Matt Sweeney. It's a cover of the Hank Williams Jr. song OD'd in Denver.
We started the tour out in Denver, Colorado. I made the first one, but I did not make the second show. 'Cause I met this girl there that brought about quite a big change. But I OD'd in Denver and I just can't remember her name. Yes, you could say my love life was not up to par. Too many nights alone had left some permanent scars.
should love me, and I told her that I'd do the same. Then I OD'd in Denver, and I just can't remember her name. I brought it on myself, so I guess I shouldn't complain. Says, son, you can't do any more of that cocaine. But she made me higher than all of those expensive things. But I OD'd in Denver and wish I could remember her name. So I turned to other things, trying to make my daydreams real. But they don't take the place of a woman's face or of her feel. She treated me nice, and I'd like to find her again. But I OD'd in Denver, and I just can't remember. So I guess I shouldn't complain. Doc says, son, you can't do any more of that cocaine. Well, she made me higher than all of those expensive things. And I OD'd in Denver and wish I could remember her name.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 elections in uncharted territory.
We are long overdue to break down the barriers that exist to accessing the ballot box, especially for people with current or prior felony convictions.
An estimated 5.2 million Americans can't vote in November, according to a new report from the Sentencing Project. And Black people are disproportionately impacted. Sakira Cook directs the Justice Program at the Leadership Conference for Civil Rights.
It should come as no surprise that a society that aggressively polices and incarcerates Black Americans at rates far greater than the rest of the population also disenfranchises Black Americans at far greater rates.
With 20 days to go, President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden have dueling town hall events tonight. Yesterday, NBC News faced criticism for scheduling one with Trump last minute after the president pulled out of the original debate in Miami. Trump objected when his recent COVID diagnosis led the debate commission to move the event online. Biden went forward on his own. Yesterday, Trump rallied supporters in Iowa, a state he won by almost 10 points in 2016. But recent polling shows him tied with Biden there. Jeff Link is with nonprofit Focus on Rural America.
The upper Midwest, the heartland, the grain belt was supposed to be a place where Trump would plant his flag in this election cycle. And he's having a very tough time defending states that he won.
Tomorrow, he's visiting Georgia, a rare campaign stop for a Republican this close to Election Day. But a new Quinnipiac poll shows Biden up 6 points in Georgia. Other recent polls show a smaller margin, but any lead is significant. The state has voted Republican for president almost 30 years. Georgia's also becoming younger and more diverse. Jerry Gonzalez with the Georgia Association for Latino Elected Officials says Georgia had about 10,000 Latino voters when his organization launched 17 years ago, and now there are around 250,000.
The Latino electorate right now has the power to be able to decide a competitive statewide race. And many of the races here in Georgia are competitive, from president to U.S. Senate to sheriff's races to Congress.
President Trump tweeted support for the California Republican Party, which has so far refused to remove over 50 illegal ballot drop boxes they installed, falsely labeled, quote, official.
Misleading voters is wrong, regardless of who's doing it. Political parties and campaigns can engage in get-out-the-vote efforts, but they cannot violate state law.
California Secretary of State Alex Padilla issued a cease-and-desist order jointly with the California Justice Department, which goes into effect today. It's not clear what will happen to any ballots left inside. California allows people to deliver ballots for others, but the deliverers must sign them. Officials believe the whole exercise is an effort to undermine citizens' trust in the election process. State Attorney General Javier Becerra instructed Californians to, quote, obey the law, not politicians. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bulkey. Thanks for listening.
So I assume you all missed the Sleepy Joe panel because you were watching me do very strong verbal diarrhea and powerful speech talking on NBC. I'm going to give you the quick minute summary of the Sleepy Joe town hall. So Sleepy Joe's first question is from, I guess, Sammy Sosa is trying to be black again. Now Sleepy Joe's talking to Khloe Kardashian if she'd never had any work done. Now Sleepy Joe's talking to a tough bald guy. That's my guy. We like those guys. And there he is with his little baby note card because he doesn't know what he's talking about. This guy is sweating more than Patrick Ewing. Get this African-American a towel, Joe. I would get it with Ice Cube. Well, she voted for me. She looks like a suburban housewife, but that Philadelphia accent is disgusting. Well, you know, this masked cuck is going to vote for Biden. He looks like Walter White. Well, this is a white-haired, strong white man. So why did he smile at Sleepy Joe? Don't smile at Sleepy Joe.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're talking with Mary Panzetta and Nisha Velez-Gallum about the Saturday, October 17th, Women's March socially distanced demonstration, one of many taking place around the country, and this one locally will be at 1 p.m. at the corner of Central Avenue and Roof Road in Colony.
So I understand this is actually just going to be one of perhaps hundreds of demonstrations taking place. Why are people organizing this demonstration?
Well, and actually I'll tell you, it's Saturday the 17th, not the 7th. So just wanted to say that, Mark. Yeah, the The date of this is kind of to have symmetry. The first Women's March was the day after the inauguration, January of 2017. So what we're hoping is that this march will mark the end of this administration. The National Women's Organization has said, women will decide this election, defend its integrity, and fight together for the feminist future we need.
And what's going to happen at the one in Albany?
So at the one in Albany, we'll be on the corner of Central Lap and Wolf Road, right in front of Colony Center. And this is just an invitation for anyone to bring a sign supporting a specific cause that they have or supporting a specific candidate that's on the ballot this year. And it's just a place for us to demonstrate that we want this to be the last march that we have to do to get him out of office or while he's in office. And so it's just a safe space for everyone to say, like, we support all of these causes, and these are basic human rights that people should have that they aren't having right now.
I remember going to the, I guess, the first Women's March right after the inauguration in New York City, and it was massive, hundreds of thousands of people, and I believe there were several others that took place after that. What has sort of the Women's March been doing over the last, you know, 4 years, and what are some of the key issues you're hoping to highlight with this protest?
Well, there's been a Women's March every January since the first one. I also attended the one in D.C., and really it was a life-changing event. I never was part of something so beautiful, so many people peacefully protesting. I think they claimed there was not one arrest in the ones that took place in the major cities, D.C., New York, L.A. So we have still kept a close watch on what this administration has been doing. And of course, most of what they've been doing is awful. So there's so, you know, and to end it with this ramming of the justice, you know, a selection of a Supreme Court justice against the wishes of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, being the hypocrisy of not allowing Obama to pick the last Supreme Court justice when it was months away from an election. So much of this is, you know, one of the main things we protest is waiting to choose a Supreme Court justice until after the inauguration. And right behind that, the things that this court, you know, may actually overturn, things like the ACA, protection for women's reproductive rights, ending marriage equality, you know, on and on.
Now, I notice on the list of the issues, the last one, at least on the list I have, is ensuring the peaceful transfer of power, which will end Trump's reign of corruption and incompetence. Certainly there's a lot of concern, that, especially with all the voting by mail, that it's, you know, certainly possible that, you know, Trump will be kind of ahead on election night and then, you know, falling behind once all the votes are starting to be counted by mail. You know, what do we do if Mr. Trump refuses to give up power? What is the Women's March role going to play?
Well, there are actually coalitions that are in existence right now. And they have a system where essentially people are creating these coalitions and these teams. And the day after election, November 4th, at around like mid-afternoon, they'll basically be deciding if they're going to click go, and all of these coalitions are going to be having protests wherever like they registered their location at. So there are, that's like a different program, but there are programs that are existing and different systems that are in existence right now to basically protect and respect the vote and make sure that our democracy is respected and he doesn't go forward, you know, stating that he won when not every single vote is counted.
Now, there certainly seems a consensus among most people, liberal, left, moderate, with common sense, that Mr. Trump needs to depart. But there's also people who feel that a lot of issues like climate change and health care, let's just say right now, the Democratic ticket's not the most progressive in the world. Is the Women's March thinking about, you know, what do they do to they'll try to push the Democrats if the Democrats are able to, you know, win power this November.
Yes, many progressive groups formed after the election of Donald Trump, and we, you know, and I'm a co-facilitator of one of them, the Coalition of Capital Region Progressives, and we're not going anywhere. If we are able to turn presidency, Congress blue, then Women's March being one of this, then our next step is to help our leaders with a more progressive agenda.
So what are you encouraging, you know, people to bring to this event on Saturday, October 17th, you know, signs, hats, banners, songs? What can people contribute to this particular event?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Well, the first thing is a mask. And the second thing would be whatever makes you like, whatever gives you power, whatever you are passionate about, create a sign. Spend, even if it's on a tiny piece of paper, hold it with your whole, like with everything that you've got in you. Use your power and use your voice. Bring your sign with you, supporting a specific candidate if you're really passionate about them, supporting reproductive rights, LGBTQ plus rights, civil rights, whatever it may be.
And we will bring extra masks and hand sanitizer. We're really very COVID aware. So, you know, we'll be nudging people to stay 6 feet apart. We're really not going to have singing and chanting like you normally do at protests because, you know, that is a little more risky during COVID. So this may be a little bit more of a silent protest, but nonetheless, we hope there's a great visual.
And I understand that this, besides you mentioned earlier, the Coalition of Capital Region Progressives, that there's a students from SUNY Albany are also involved in helping to put this together. You know, can you talk a little bit about, you know, what is the state of, you know, youth activism on campus, particularly after, you know, returning from the COVID shutdown?
Mm-hmm. Activism on campus, I feel like, is more stronger than ever. About 2 weeks ago, there was a protest on campus for Black Lives. A couple of days ago, there was a protest for Black Women Matter. And so students are very empowered to use their voice and use their numbers to, whether it is walk on campus or walk around Albany, to just say that they have a voice. And even if it's one person, more people are going to come out and join them because we do live in Albany. We are a moderately liberal city. So, you know, we are supported, we support one another, and the university does a good job at making sure we use our freedom of speech and follow COVID-19 guidelines. So, like I said, it has been very prominent this month, especially.
So we've been talking with Mary Panzetta and Nysha Velez-Gallen about the Women's March Socially Distanced Demonstration this Saturday at October 17th at 1 p.m. corner of Central Avenue and Wolf Road, womensmarch.com. Any final word?
We would love to line the street up and down Central Avenue and Wolf Road. Please come out, rain or shine.
Thank you very much. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
We are with Mr. Edward McDonough, the Democratic Commissioner for the Rensselaer County Elections Board. Hi, Mr. McDonough. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, thank you. So you're the Democratic Commissioner, and you also work with a Republican Commissioner, your colleague Larry Bugbee.
Actually, no. Larry retired. So Jason Schofield is the new Republican Commissioner.
Okay, Jason Schofield. And could you explain the structure of the Elections Board with this two-party commissioner thing?
Yeah, I actually like to refer it as Noah's Ark. We have, for every Democrat, there's a Republican in every position that we have here in the office.
And that's just to
It's to make sure that, you know, everything is going off, I guess, in a fair manner, where everyone's looking out for each other, you know, and to make sure that there's checks and balances.
Sure. So how is the big question, administering this year's election process, been different from every year before?
There's no comparison. I've been here for over 30 years, and I've never seen anything like this before. Just an example is the absentees that we've issued. The previous high we've ever issued in a general election was just a little over 4,300 absentees. As of today, the end of day, we'll have over 14,000 that we've issued. So that's the first and foremost. That doesn't even take into consideration the loss of poll workers, the loss of polling locations. It seems that anything that could go wrong or is could happen is happening, I guess I would say.
Has this also affected the timeline of preparations for the election?
We've been working on this pretty much since COVID hit. Our office has been, we started first at a skeleton staff for a couple of weeks. Then we realized we had to get ready for the primary in April, which was ultimately pushed to June. But we've been back at full staff since April, and we've been working 5 days, sometimes 6 days a week, where we're in early, we're leaving late at night. We're just doing everything we can to make sure that we're covering everything that's so that this election goes off with no issues.
And what is the most time-intensive part of your unusual work this year? And also, what could you tell people to make sure they account for with their ballot, make sure that they do right so that you can expedite things and make sure that they're not disenfranchised?
Well, I'll tell you, first off, absentees, you know, dealing with the large number that we are, for every absentee, there's an application that has to be taken care of, put into our system to generate a ballot to be mailed. So that's a lengthy process. we're constantly reprinting new absentee ballots because we're going through so many. And I guess thank God that we produce them here in-house and we don't have to pay for them like many other counties pay outsourced to a printing company. We do everything in-house here, and that saved us quite a bit of money because we never could have predicted the number of absentees that we're going through. What would I say to people to make sure? First and foremost, I would say don't listen to TV. I feel very confident in the mail. We've had no issues. We've had actually people that have tested unbeknownst to us to see if we're going, how long it takes to receive mail. We've received letters from different parts of the county sent through the post office, all coming in, as you would expect, a timely manner. I can tell you that we're receiving the voted ballots coming in hundreds, dropped off during the day, as well as probably 500 to 600 a day through the mail. So not only are people requesting these absentees, but they're actually doing their due diligence, voting them and sending them back in a very timely manner. So I would certainly just recommend to continue to do that.
You mentioned not listening to the news. All variety of conspiracy theories have been circulating about mail-in ballots, many issued from the president himself. Could you have you felt this in our district?
Well, how we feel it is through the probably 500 phone calls a day that we receive here, and there's quite a few of them that question, how do I track my ballot? We don't have a tracking system, but other areas do. Checking is to see how, has my ballots come back, where we've never really received that in the past. I think people, in the past that voted, put it in the mail and always just assumed that it came to our office. Now we're having people check almost on an hourly basis, which takes time out of our, other jobs that we have during the course of the day. So the controversy, like as you say, the conspiracy mongering that's out there has led to a lot more phone calls in our office.
And not to fan the flames of that, because I really think that's not what our politics needs right now, and frankly, the state of our democracy needs. But I would be remiss if I didn't bring up, when I was doing my research for the interview, you were indicted in 2011 for elections fraud, something Correct. To do with ballots for mm-hmm. the and of course later those charges were dismissed.
Correct.
But it was something with ballot fraud for the Working Families Party. Right. Could you comment on that experience just because it's sort of relevant?
Well, I would love to, and my comments will come shortly because I'm in the midst of a lawsuit. If you followed the whole process, I was successful in the United States Supreme Court, and we have a case in federal court in Albany, which is going forward with a lawsuit against the person who was prosecuting as well as the county. So I can't legally comment right now.
Could you, I did notice that your case went all the way up to the Supreme Court. Could you give us the title of the case if people want to look into that? Because it's very interesting.
It's McDonough versus Trey Smith. He was the so-called prosecutor in the case.
All right. Have you received, or has the county elections board rather received, and to your knowledge, other elections boards across the state, received state or federal support for all of the resources that you need this year that you don't normally require?
I wouldn't say all, because there's never enough for what you'd really like to have done. But we have applied and received grants through federal money, as well as the state has reached out to the best that they could to cover some of the unexpected costs, more so that we incurred in the primary election, where we had to mail applications at the county's cost to all registered voters, as well as paying for their ballots to be sent. So we've been fortunate enough to receive that kind of a money.
How much in grants have you received?
Can you disclose that? Right now, we are just under $200,000. Well, I would say probably right now after the last grant, somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000 we received. Yeah, which covers a lot of our postage and our printing costs.
All right. And I guess lastly, where should our listeners go for information on voting and the dates that they need to keep in mind, things like this?
Sure. I would certainly recommend reaching out to us via our website, which is www.RENSCO.com. When you get on the main page, you go to departments, click on the Board of Elections, and everything that you need to know is right there, from absentee voting, early voting, polling locations, anything you need to know. So dates that are important. Obviously, anybody can request an absentee ballot either by mail or in person up until the day before the election. So that will be November 2nd. Early voting starts in 3 locations in our county, and those dates and times are on our website. But that starts on the 24th of October, and we go 9 straight days through the 1st of November. And then, of course, obviously, we have Election Day on the 3rd of November, and those hours are from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m.
All right. We appreciate you speaking with us, Mr. McDonough.
Not a problem at all. Thank you very much for having me.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On October 8th, State Assembly candidate Betsy Crott had an online concert to raise money and awareness for her campaign, with 3 Catskill artists performing. Let's listen to a little bit from Amy Rigby, Brian Dewan, and Reckless Eric performing at the October 8th online fundraiser.
This is an older song. I wrote about a historical figure, an evil man, but it just seems like back in the last century, you know, they were colorful in a way that the villains of today aren't. They're sort of all the same. In 1916, he took a bullet to the chest. They all thought that he was dead, but he surprised them. In 1981, I withstood similar attack. I got hit, but I came back, and it keeps happening. I'm like Rasputin, I get back up again. I'm like Rasputin, I keep coming back, coming back, coming back to life. He robes and Coptic crosses, took his chances, cut his losses. He was evil, so they tried to put him down. I had mini skirts and lashes. Love reduce this girl to ashes. Think I'm done, I'm not done. Time for one more go around. I'm like Rasputin, I get back up again. I'm like Rasputin, I keep coming back, coming back, coming back to life. He gave some folks hope, others wanted him to choke. So they poisoned him and shoved him in a lake. I've had lovers and detractors, but my one governing factor is there's nothing they throw at me that I can't take. I'm like Rasputin, I get back up again. I'm like Rasputin, I keep coming back, coming back, coming back to life. This world's a messed up place. Our favorite act, the fall from grace. Resurrection, isn't it a myth? When I've seen some, feel too late to be some. My need for love, seize me, ask me, you coming with? Like Rasputin, I get back up again. I'm like Rasputin, I keep coming back, coming back, coming back to life. Like Rasputin, Rasputin, I keep coming back, coming back, coming back to life. Coming back, coming back, coming back to life. Okay, I think I'm going to play a love song now. Something a little more uplifting. I'm sure some of you watching are Neil Young fans. Well, if you're a fan, you probably know the name David Briggs. He produced a lot of Neil's most loved albums. And some of you are probably Paul Simon fans. And maybe some of your favorite Paul music was made when he was part of Simon and Garfunkel. So those two things kind of play into this. This is a new song that I haven't played for anybody yet, so we'll see how it goes. Would you be my David Briggs? Would you be my RDG? Harmony and recording rigs, you could save me from me. If I was your Neil or Paul, you'd intuit how I feel. 2-for-1 and 1-for-all. The hard work of being real. Would you cancel out my doubt? Make me laugh instead of shout? If I yell, would you yell too? Oh, I wish that I could sing like you. And I wish that I could mix like you. Would you speak the truth, my dear, with your keen, unerring ear? Together we could get it right, though I'd still put up a fight. Would you tell me I was shit if the moment demanded it? Sure, there's plenty of easier gigs than RDG or David Briggs. David Briggs or RDG, you could save me from me. Okay, thanks for tuning in, and I'm going to just play one more for you, and I think we're going to hear some more from Betsy and Reckless Eric and Brian Dewan, and it's just nice to be here among
neighbors and friends, and well, there's not really anybody here, but you know, it's you know, you're all there, like imaginary, like sort of cutouts and in front of me. This is, I think, of October as Tom Petty month, and so this is Tom Petty karaoke. I'm kind of empty tonight. Nothing feels right. Nothing feels right. I'm going out on my own. Nothing can stay home. I can't stay home when I'm holding the microphone. It's like I'm holding on to something that's gone. When I sing, I won't back down. I don't feel down. Yeah, I'm all right. And when I do, don't do me like that. Hey, I'm back, walking into the light. And when I'm bringing, she went down swinging. I just singing. I'm coming on, American girl. Take me out of this world. I always thought we'd meet. Maybe we did. Maybe we did. Days I can't take this heat. I'm no kid. I ain't no kid. They play that DGA. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. And when I sing, learning to fly, I don't know why. It's like I wrote the song myself. And when I'm free, I'm a refugee. Yeah, I'm still me. But I feel like someone else. And when I say, hey, I'm free falling, hear it calling. Why can't we all just get along, American girl? Take me out of this world. American girl, take me out of this world.
Improving village. The antifreeze and Pepto-Bismol sunset tips aslant and seeps into the water table like a sewage treatment plant. A lush box swings and screeches on which feral children play. Their hollers strain through chain-link fences all the mean dog day. Hang a left at Colonial Drug, the local den of sin. Kitty corner across the street from the horse and buggy motor inn. A crooked mile past Murderer's Creek, just north of Indian Head Hill, lies our ever-improving village on the banks of Thornbush Kill. The powers that be won't likely vote for doing something rash, like plow the streets or fill in potholes or pick up household trash. They raise the ban shell for being an attractive nuisance, so they say. Then they tore down the public library for being old and in the way. They put a WubMart up invoking eminent domain in hopes it will kill off the local business that remains. Yet once there was an ordinance that you couldn't build no higher than the statue of William Penknife or the Second Parish Spire. Better. We're not so bad, we're getting better. Things aren't so bad, they're getting better. We're not so bad, we're getting better. Instead of loitering round the liquor store, the wayward youth will enter our state-of-the-art brand spanking new juvenile detention center. Get your kicks at the 5 and 10 12-lane polydrome. The ace of burgers, the rummage roost, or the gloaming old folks home. We've got the county's largest junkyard, which truly does deserve to be declared an accidental wildlife reserve. In spite of all you've heard about the underground oil spillage, you've got to admit we've got a heck of a view from our ever-improving village. We're not so bad, we're getting better in our ever-improving village.
Ray was singing to me how I might see the stars as I strolled down Hollywood Boulevard. And Neil kept telling me, tonight's the night. Over at SIR, used to be cool, but I'm just a tourist now. A star-struck fool, he turned into a man somehow. But if you think that what you see is what you get, you haven't seen the half of it yet. Who was it told the tale of how Murray Prevost did not look her best on that January day when the cops bust down the door into her loneliness? I used to think that that was cool, the words of Ellen. Bonafide fools, I think we've learned a lot since then. But if you think that what you you see is what you get. You haven't learned the half of it yet. Tropical moonlit night, because nobody's told about you. I go the whole wide world. I go the whole wide world just to find her. I go the whole wide world. I go the whole wide world. Find out where they hide her. Please form an orderly line. Please no photography. Kindly stick to the path. Just over there on the right is where an angry crowd tore a desperate man in half. I used to be cool, but I'm just a tourist now. A starstruck fool. You turned into a man somehow. You think that what you see is what you get. You haven't heard the half of it yet.
This is Mitch Easter of Sneakers, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
It's time again for WGXC's Pledge Drive. This time, essential radio is the theme. And we know that these days during the pandemic, not all of you have the means to make a donation to community radio. Those of you that do have the means to keep community voices on 90.7 FM, please do at wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. But if you do not have the means these days, there are still ways to help. For one, you could call our 3-minute phone line at 518-291-WGXC or 518-291-9492. Leave a 3-minute message about why community radio is important to you and why others should make a donation to WGXC. If you do have the means, by all means do become a sustainable supporter at wgxc.org/donate and help keep community radio on the air in your community. If you don't have the means, you can also amplify the WGXC Essential Radio Pledge Drive on social media by retweeting and liking and sharing posts about the WGXC Pledge Drive or about how to become a sustainable supporter at wgxc.org/donate. Please do what you can to help keep Community Voices on the air at 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Mark Pollock of Climax New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for October the 16th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. As the election edges closer, thousands of Pennsylvania votes could be thrown out in November.
Last month, the state Supreme Court handed down rulings that were seen as largely a win for Democrats. They extended the deadline for absentee ballots, allowed more ballot drop boxes, and removed the Green Party candidate from the ballot for failing to follow proper procedures. But the court also ruled that naked ballots, mail-in ballots returned without the second secrecy envelope, must be thrown out. Scott Seaborg is state director of the group All Voting is Local. He says that could be as many as 40,000 ballots in Philadelphia alone and 100,000 statewide.
Those numbers are based on 2019 absentee ballot returns, and I'm hoping that all that voter education that the state and lots of other folks have done will drive that number down.
In 2016, Donald Trump won Pennsylvania by just 44,000 votes. Pennsylvania is one of 16 states that require a secrecy envelope for mail-in ballots. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Multiple bills in the General Assembly aim to try to improve the voting process in Pennsylvania, including a bipartisan measure to allow county officials to start processing mail-in ballots before Election Day. Election experts, including a Secretary of State, recently spoke with Massachusetts-based Voter Protection Corps about how election night could go smoothly.
During a Zoom panel, they said most people should have an easy experience voting, whether in person or by mail. But election night is likely to be more like election week, at least. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson explains her state can't open ballots, including absentee, until the morning of Election Day. Benson says it'll be impossible to have election night results from Michigan.
Basic math is estimating that it's going to take 80 hours to count and tabulate 3.2 million ballots based on the number of machines and people we've got.
The vote counting policy is very widely by state. In Massachusetts, election officials can pre-process mail and absentee ballots as soon as they arrive. Benson cautions the media to wait until the grand majority of votes are counted before calling races. I'm Laura Rosbrow-Tellum reporting.
Early voting in Massachusetts starts on Saturday. In Arkansas, it will begin on Monday. Neil Matthews of the League of Women Voters of Arkansas says this year there are three state issues on the ballot.
Issue one is about the half-cent sales tax for the highway commission. Issue two is a version of term limits proposed by the legislature. And issue three, the legislature's rewriting the rules for how citizen-initiated petitions and ballot initiatives are handled.
This is PNS. COVID-19, well, it's elevated the importance of quality health care, and Hoosiers with employer-sponsored insurance are encouraged to carefully review their coverage options for 2021.
Now is the time of year that open enrollment for private health insurance plans is offered for the upcoming year. President and CEO of United Healthcare in Indiana, Kim Sonnerholm, says it's a good idea to sit down and review plan offerings and take into consideration any anticipated health, lifestyle, or financial changes.
Only 2/3 of people who actually go through the process spent more than an hour looking at what is available. It's broader than just health insurance and benefits. They have opportunities to enroll in dental and vision plans often and kind of overlook those additional services that their employers are making available.
It's estimated that 54% of Hoosiers have employer-sponsored health care coverage. 15% are Medicare beneficiaries who also need to review coverage options for next year between now and December 7th. For Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman.
A self-styled militia network that has been identified as far-right reportedly has exploded in the Northwest ever since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Arek Teganoff explains.
The Montana Human Rights Network and Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights finds that Ammon Bundy, leader of armed standoffs in Oregon and Nevada, has exploited fears over coronavirus to expand an anti-government group known as People's Rights to 20,000 followers across 16 states. Travis McAdam with the Montana Human Rights Network says local groups in this network were not formed to have civil debates about policy.
They view this world as the battle between the righteous and the wicked. And frankly, there's a lot of discussion in people's rights circles about how we need to form these paramilitary militias or other similar groups to protect the righteous and to deal with the wicked.
According to the report, Bundy says he wants to turn people's rights into a den of rattlesnakes to protect Americans' rights. There are about 700 members of this group in Montana.
Since the report was released, Facebook has taken down pages associated with the phrase people's rights. Finally, our Diane Bernard tells us as a result of a lawsuit over water pollution from mining, a tract of land that once housed surface mines is being repurposed as a public recreation area for West Virginians.
Cindy Rank is with West Virginia Highlands Conservancy, one of the groups involved in the court case. She says Alpha agreed to transfer the land to correct the pollution problems.
I just hope that people see these as positive outcomes. Sometimes there are good things that come out.
The 5,000-acre plot of land is part of the old Kennelton Mines and is being developed by the West Virginia Land Trust.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported on great radio stations across the nation and online at publicnewsservice.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Republican State Senator Daphne Jordan of Half Moon has earned the Environmental Advocates Action 2020 Oil Slick Award. EA Action said in a press release, the award is presented annually to a New York State lawmaker that has repeatedly voted against the environment and I quote, put the priorities of polluters ahead of public health and safety, end quote. Peter M. Iwanowitz, executive director of Environmental Advocates Action, said, and I quote, unfortunately, time and again, Senator Jordan turns her back on her constituents' health and safety and instead chooses to prop up polluters. During her short time in office, she has voted against measures that fight climate change, protect kids from toxic toys, and keep dangerous chemicals out of our food, end quote. In making the award, EA Action highlighted Jordan's vote to reject a bill to ban PFAS chemicals from food packaging, the same chemicals that contaminated the drinking water in Hoosick Falls. EA Action wrote, and I quote, voting no means standing with polluting corporations that profit while the public gets sick. Senator Daphne Jordan sided with the polluters, not her constituents, end quote. Jordan's predecessor and former boss, then-Senator Kathy Marchione, earned the Oil Slick Award in 2014. Republican State Senator George Amador tied with Jordan with the lowest score in the Senate, scoring a 49 out of 100 according to the 2020 Environmental Scorecard. In the Assembly, Republican Jake Ashby scored a 77 out of 100, Democrat D.D. Barrett received a 100 for the second year in a row, and Republican Christopher Teague scored a 52, up from 43 last year. The Environmental Scorecard tracks the votes of every state legislator on environmental legislation. Environmental Advocates Action was founded in 1969. It is the sister organization of Environmental Advocates New York, and you can read more at xaction.org. Steve Barnes is reporting for the Times Union. Fish and Game, a Hudson restaurant that gained local and national attention, has closed its doors after 7 years in business. Chef Zachary Palacio opened the restaurant in 2013 after he made his name with the Manhattan restaurants Fatty Crab and Fatty Q. His work at Fish and Game was subsequently recognized with the James Beard Award for Best Chef Northeast 2016. The restaurant was shuttered during the coronavirus pandemic, and now Whalers and Merchants LLC, the company that owns Fish and Game, has decided to close the eatery permanently. In an email to patrons October 15th, Palacio announced that he would be leaving the company to pursue work as a consulting chef. Fish and Game's sister establishment, Back Bar, remains open. Whalers and Merchants is expected to introduce a new take on Italian cuisine and dining at Fish and Game's location on 3rd Street off Warren. It will be called Feast and Florette and will incorporate a fresh flower market. Read the full story in the Times Union. Diane Pinero Zucker is reporting in the Daily Freeman that Chief Kyle Bernardi said on Wednesday, October 14th, the owner of a gun store on Morton Boulevard in the town of Ulster complied after he was directed by police to remove a sign from the front door of his shop that read, and I quote, "No mask allowed," end quote. Bernardi said after receiving an inquiry from the Daily Freeman about the sign at Rutgers Custom Guns, police, and I quote, advised the owner to take the sign down, end quote, and I quote, he complied without incident, end quote. The sign in all capital letters was taped to the store's front door the day before. The chief denied that his department had received any complaints about the store's no mask policy. A person answering the phone at the shop Tuesday afternoon hung up on a reporter asking questions about the store's policy, and the phone message later left with the business was not returned. State law enacted because of the COVID-19 pandemic requires anyone over the age of 2 and medically able to tolerate a face covering to wear a mask that covers the nose and mouth, and I quote, when in a public place and unable to maintain or when not maintaining social distance, end quote. Additionally, the law requires employees in a workplace to be provided with and wear a mask or face covering, and I quote, when in direct contact with customers or members of the public and when unable to maintain social distance, end quote. The law also requires business operators and building owners to deny admittance to anyone failing to comply with the law. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, October 16th. Strange day ahead. Starting out, we have our day's high of 53 degrees at dawn. Temperatures drop a little as a cold front moves through the area today, ending at 50 degrees at dusk. All day long, the front will try to drop rain on the Twin Counties, and we'll get better at it this afternoon. Almost an inch of rain is expected for today, with this afternoon being the most intense. Overnight rain continues, tapering off around dawn. Tomorrow will be dry with a high of 56. Sunday will be also dry, but a little bit warmer. The next high tides will be at 3:05 p.m. and tomorrow at 3:21 a.m. The next low tides will be at 9:21 a.m. and at 9:47 p.m. Water temperature will be 60 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:50 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:09 a.m. Looking way up, we see new Sun Cycle Sunspot AR2776. Has quadrupled in size since it first appeared on October 14th. It is not yet large enough to pose a threat for strong solar flares, but it is a good target for backyard solar telescopes, with proper solar filters, of course. Solar wind speed is currently 306 kilometers per second at 6.9 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1, quiet. The current sunspot number is 14, and this has been the better weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Music.
Brand new music, a 2020 release from Rachel Grimes. The song is called Got a Hold of Me, and the album is The Way Forth, an instrumental album. Here is brand new music from Mary Lattimore. Her 2020 album, Silver Ladders, is out with this song called Till a Mermaid Drags You Under.